Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The People's Republic of China, non-transparent. The Chinese Communist Party, complete mystery, except now and again, we hear about someone purged or someone erased, such as recently Qin Gang, the foreign minister, before that the ambassador to the United States, and now gone from official websites, gone from history. However, most important to pay attention to when this happens in the military. Right now, we're dealing with the two figures of the rocket forces who are gone. What does it mean for the PLA, the People's Liberation Army? What does it mean for Xi Jinping, the all-powerful president for life of the Chinese Communist Party? And you will recall, the army is not the state's army. It's the party's army. So theory says that the party is loyal, totally loyal to Xi Jinping, not China. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, is here to help me understand what we are witnessing without being able to see through the complete wall of Chinese military planning. Gregory, a very good evening to you. The last we talked, I remember thinking the Navy says the attack is within 2 or 3 years, the U.S. Navy. But what you're witnessing and interpreting in China suggests to me no attack is coming. Something's wrong between Xi and the army. What's happened?
Well, certainly there's a total erosion of trust now between Xi Jinping and the People's Liberation Army. In fact, the element of trust between them was, I think, largely in Xi's mind only. When he came to office as a young princeling in 2012, he didn't have a real power base, a faction behind him. So he decided to make the People's Liberation Army his faction, and he would support and they would support him. The reality was that the PLA didn't think that they were his faction. They saw Xi as just someone they could use. So there's always been an element of cynicism, shall we say, among a lot of senior professional military in the armed forces. And that's been the case since the creation of the Communist Party of China and the PLA itself. This is why, as with the Soviet Union, the role of the political commissar within every military unit is perhaps more important than the actual military commander. And that was the case during World War II with the Soviet forces as well. And it took the first massive wave of defeats of the Soviet armed forces at the hands of the Germans, particularly with Operation Barbarossa, for Stalin to recover and actually give operational control back to the professional soldiers and take it away from the commissars. But the commissars, if you like, represented the control of the military, because the main enemy was not the opposing country. It was the potential rebellion of the troops against the party. So what we've seen is these continuous purges of the PLA, and this air of distrust and paranoia in the Xi household has only been exacerbated since he assumed what we like to call total control of the party. He'd eliminated most of his adversaries. Even the leader of the great opposition group, the Jiang Zemin faction, around the former chief of the party, Jiang Zemin, was weakened by the death of Jiang late last year. He had a state funeral and all that, but all that meant was that the Jiang Zemin faction largely became less clear to identify and more amorphous. But recently, we saw in June the fact that Xi Jinping dismissed or disappeared two very key commanders, the commander, the force commander of the strategic rocket force, General Li Yuchao, and one of the deputy commanders, General Zhang Zhengzhong, and they were removed abruptly. And there was a suggestion that it was because they had contact with the Americans, which may or may not be the case, or it may be that the Americans promoted that idea just to get those two people removed. They have just been replaced, in fact, which is quite interesting. What they did is they put in the new commander of the Strategic Rocket Forces, who's the former deputy commander of the PLA Navy. And so he's not a professional strategic rocket person unless he was intimately connected with the submarine launched ballistic missile program, which he probably was. And then they put in a new political commissar of the Strategic Rocket Force. So they said that many other leading ranks within the Strategic Rocket Forces were also removed. Now, and allegedly, now they're saying some weeks after this or months after this, they're saying they were removed on account of corruption probes, which is the great catch-all. But in reality, Xi Jinping can't launch a major strategic conflict against Taiwan or any of the neighbors without absolute reliability from the Strategic Rocket Forces. And what it's looking like is that there are so many problems with the PLA, including reliability. They can't get their carrier battle groups into any kind of defensible status. Their force capability of those carrier battle groups is limited. They have to keep going back to a very, very strategically vulnerable place in northern China and Dailan to get refitted, and they're doing that all the time and still not up to speed. Their aircraft aren't up to capacity. They're hoping to get new engines in most of their aircraft, but that's some years away from being operational. There are all kinds of reliability factions, and now the PLA has done its own wargaming of potential conflict with Taiwan, which is very problematic as to the outcome. And that doesn't even take into account the reality that if they go to war against Taiwan, they automatically engage the Japanese armed forces. And that automatically then, because of treaty obligations, gets the U.S. involved. Vietnam would then start looking at its own offensive operations to retake what it believes is its share of the South China Sea. And India would move in the Tibetan Plateau, which is the source of most of the river water going into China and down into Pakistan. So there'd be any number of follow-on ramifications which the PLA could not handle. So we, in a recent report, we said that it's possible and even probable that the PLA was by late this month well advanced along a path to intervene if necessary in the leadership. In other words, to stage some form of coup. It may not be an obvious coup, but it would be some form of PLA control on the party leadership, maybe even keeping Xi Jinping as a figurehead. Or it could see the PRC broken up into regional factions as it was even under Mao. By the way, this whole conflict between the PLA and the party has been continual since 1949. So there's nothing really new about this or the fact that these factions are constantly at war with each other. But the reality is that the PLA is seeing the economy and therefore the military-industrial capability of the PRC disappearing, and they have to do something to stop that. Otherwise, what we are likely to see within the coming years coming couple of years even, is the collapse of the PLA, of the Communist Party itself. And especially if you look now, the economic collapse, right, coupled with massive environmental damage, the flooding, which is currently underway throughout much of the country, including Beijing and Shanghai, has displaced tens of millions, perhaps even as many as 150 million Chinese, disrupting the economy. So there is nothing good going to happen in the PRC economy over the coming few years.
Gregory,
the housing market's collapsed.
Does this mean the PLA regards a war as an existential risk? Is that, do they take it to that level? If we go to war, we'll lose.
Oh, there's no question about that. They already know that they cannot afford to risk a war which could engage all of their neighbors and possibly the United States. So this is really profound. So there'll be some of the party loyalists, as we saw during World War II with the death before dishonor group of the Imperial Japanese Army, for
right,
example.
Right.
They're always the zealots, but the body, the sober body of leadership, is very conscious of the risk to their existence if they go to war. And bear in mind that they haven't been tested.
Right.
The last time they were tested was against Vietnam in the 70s, and they were comprehensively defeated by the Vietnamese army.
Do they mean to remove Xi? Do they need to remove Xi, or can they live with him?
Well, that's what I say. I think it could take one of many forms, including keeping Xi as a figurehead and just tightening the controls so that he doesn't get out of hand. They may find a way to help him deliver a situation where he can declare victory and go home and stop threatening this distracting war. Xi needs something so that the people don't revolt. So a foreign war has been what he's been promising, the war against Taiwan. But that would only get him into trouble if he tries to implement it. Now, Xi might, after next year's January's presidential elections in Taiwan, be able to say, well, we got our way in Taiwan. We defeated the present government, the DPP presidency of President Tsai Ing-wen, and we got the Kuomintang, the Nationalist Party, back in power, and that's a victory for Beijing. That would be really a fictional victory, because although the Kuomintang is very insistent on saying that there is only one China, it doesn't mean that they believe that one China is the one controlled by the Communist Party, because the Kuomintang is still committed to the continuing identity of the Republic of China, which basically ran China after the collapse of the imperial system in about 1911 and 1912, the Civil War period. So basically, Xi is going to have to find a way out of the corner into which he has painted himself. Either that or the military will find a way to remove him and replace him. The fact that Xi has eliminated most of the obvious and normal succession within the party means that the military might have a difficult job in finding a credible succession process. Either that or they will say, look, we'll take over as a martial law government. We'll go back to the regional controls, because quite clearly there are parts of the country which are going to really suffer enormously if going forward unless we do something about it. But it's a really existential threat to the entire continued existence of the Communist Party control. No, they'll do something.
Right.
The question is, what is it they'll do?
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. I'm John Batchelor.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.